This is The Women of Lettuce, a podcast dedicated to the TV show Supernatural and everything fandom.
Episode, I've forgotten totally what number it is, of the Women of Letters podcast. Like the show, we've been on a mini hiatus, but we're back this week, not with show news, but with convention news, with a slightly cruddy Amy here with me, back from Vegas Con. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Jules. Every time I do like a post-con report, I sound like this.
You poor darling. And this isn't even... For those of you who are unaware, post-con crud is a common condition caused by not sleeping, too much excitement, not eating properly, and being in close proximity to 1,000 people for 4 days.
Who have all travelled from overseas on boxing aeroplanes.
And then being stuck on planes with recycled snot for 14 hours. But you actually got yours at the beginning of the con, Amy.
I got it probably just started coming on just before the con. Yeah, unfortunately, Hazel got sick about a day after we got to... But we had like a few days in Venice Beach and then we were going out to Disneyland for a couple of days. She started to get sick like about the second day we were there. So she obviously got something on the plane, I'd say. And she passed it on to me, which is hard not to do when you're living in such close quarters. And so I think by the time I got to Vegas, I was starting to get sick. The first day of the con, I woke up and went, oh, crap. I was really sick.
Yeah. And there's no, it's like you can't wish it away. It's just...
Can't do anything about it.
And yes, you can't even blame the Padalecki, who was also, I believe,
puking.
Sick,
yeah.
on infecting you.
I can't.
He came with it himself as well.
I was really conscious that I wasn't going to be infecting them because they were both like, Jensen's like, oh, wow, you've really lost your voice. Because my voice on the Sunday was almost non-existent. It was like ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And Jared's like, oh, babe.
Well, you usually don't have much voice by the Sunday.
No, I know. And I think that's the thing.
In the best of conditions.
Because Richard sort of said to me, oh, you're having a good time? And I was like, Amy, you know, you're having a good time, Amy? And I'm like, yeah, having a great time. He's like, well, you sound like you're having a great time. I'm like, oh, I'll just leave it at that. I'm like really ill, probably running like 105 temperature after my eyeballs and some kind of American cold medicine that has horrible liver warnings on it that I just...
Probably causes erectile dysfunction and
I think that was
stroke
one of the...
as well.
It was like everything I was doing wrong. It was like, you're not allowed to have alcoholic drinks on it because your liver will fail. You're not allowed to. I was doing everything that they told me not to do. And I'm like, oh, well, whatever. Surely if I just take a few of them, it'll be okay.
You have to during the con.
I'm like, I wonder if this works okay with Claritine because I'm going to take one of those. That's so many drugs.
You should have just gone down the strip and got some good quality speed or something. And
I do have to say, though, if you do get a head cold when you're at a con, because I had like a chest cold and a head cold, which is unusual. I usually get one or the other, but I got the two and it was ridiculous. And I took Claritine because I happen to have some... hay fever. I happen to have some allergy stuff just in case I had a repeat of the random hives attack.
which is your Vancouver
disease. Which is my Vancouver disease. What's wrong with me? I took these antihistamines with me just in case. And I took them because I thought, well, they say they're supposed to stop snuffy noses and watery eyes. Screw it, I'm just taking them. And they were rocking, man. So I reckon, like, hay fever medication is, like, the best cold medication ever. So they stopped me at least looking like my nose was good. My nose was streaming or anything. So I managed to hold it together. Yeah, I sounded pretty awful, and I think everybody around me was like, oh, my God, she's coughing, I'm going to get sick, but whatever. Everybody was coughing. I'm sorry, everybody in the place was coughing. Yeah.
Well, and I believe it's a pretty bad atmosphere because there's all the smoke and everything as well. So
down in the convention area is okay. Yeah. But yeah, up in the casino, it's because it's not like if you go to the Bellagio, you do not smell smoke in their casino. You just don't. It's beautiful. You know, it smells like you know, fresh money, laundered money. but it's really, you know, it's because it's expense, right? Yeah. So, but you go to the Rio or one of those, the other guys, you know, no, you smell it because they obviously don't have quite the wonderful filtration system that the posh casinos have where you don't smell the smoke. So, yeah, you walk into a pretty much a wall of smoke at the Rio when you come in. But down at the casinos, it's fine because they're not allowed to smoke down there, I don't think. So, this, I mean, down at the casinos, down at the convention centre. But, of course, yeah, that's like a million miles away from the room. I can't even. You just forget.
And you did a few miles, did you? On your bad foot. Let's remind everyone that you broke your foot earlier this year.
I did. I was just, as I said to you earlier, I was like, by the end of the day, I was like Quasimodo dragging my foot behind me. Come on, foot.
Coughing
my lungs up. Like, Hazel's, like, 5 miles ahead of me. I'm like, I'm coming. I'm behind you. I haven't got any air and my foot doesn't work anymore. It was just a joke. But, no, yeah, it was a long... I did pretty well on my foot, I have to say. I think it probably did quite happy about getting exercise. I think it worked it quite well. But,
well, and also damn, it's amazing what some adrenaline can do.
Well, this is the thing. You're sort of like... I just said, look, I'm operating on the power of love right now, and that's just going to have to get me through because it's, you know, it doesn't matter. I still had a great time. Like, I missed a couple of things. I did miss karaoke, and I ended up missing Jason's concert because of my son, and I was so sick. Oh, I was like, I just can't do it, man. And it's like, then nothing starts until like 10 o'clock at night. And so I'm like, dudes, I can't even. So I had to pick and choose, you know.
So let's start on the Thursday, because, of course, this is the biggest con. It's a four-day con.
Yeah, it's a big con.
And I'm sure, like, eventually this will become, as the Star Trek one is in Vegas, sort of the flagship of the Supernatural convention. So a million guests starts on the Thursday. Of course, you were there to, I was going to say log in, register. I saw photos of the huge queue to register.
Oh, it was insane, too, because... I think last year the registration was like at about, I'm just getting out a thing, what's
program.
It called? Program, so I can remember what the hell happened. I think last year the registration was like 7:30, so it was awesome. So we all got down there like about 5:30. I keep my seat, so like I don't need an upping number, but yeah, it's just fun to hang out, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we all get down there with cocktails, and I didn't have a cocktail this time, but all cocktails and all that kind of stuff, and we were sort of wrapped by like 9. Well, this time they didn't say they were going to start until 9 for gold, and I reckon they probably started about 20 to 10. So it was quite late, and by the time you sort of then do that, then change over all your PDFs into hard tickets for the J's and JDM and Misha, and then buy any of your additional tickets, you know, for the people that you haven't bought online because you want to save their not pay the $7.50 on each ticket. So unless they're a J's or an M or a JDM, buy them at the convention, tip to new players. You know, it was like 11:30 or something by the time we'd finished, wrapped up, and the queue went for miles. And that was like, because then they were doing silver and then they were doing the new copper people, and you know, and it just was like, it was what you said, it was like Crowley's rendition
queue
of hell.
In hell.
Yeah, it was just like, oh my god, I can't believe how long this queue is. And I was like, thank you that we got down there like about 7, and there was already a reasonable queue, but we were probably, you know, only 50 people from the front probably, and the queue was just horrific. So I was like, I couldn't have dealt with it. I would have had to have gone down in the morning and done it in the morning. I couldn't have dealt with being at the back. So that was good. But, I mean, it was, you know, it was great because you sit in the queue and everybody walks past. You're like, oh, my God, you know, how are you? And you just catch up with everybody, and it's a lot of fun,
that
registration.
That part of it's nice. It'd be nicer if there was also, like, a bar or a coffee cart there.
Or seats, so you went on the floor.
Seats. I have to say, queues in general are my kryptonite. There's a woman heading off to Comic-Con this year.
I was going to say, every convention, it's like we got into the queue and we're like, so it begins.
Oh, I know. I mean, I have to say Creation Cons are probably better than most.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They
control them really well.
Queue management and queue expectations. I mean, they're nearly at Disneyland level, I think, in terms of...
They are. And you know, like sometimes you get people that... I remember last year we had Felicia Day, and
when she was doing the autograph, she was in a room. They put her in a room next to the auditorium to do the autograph.
Yes.
Which in actual fact, those rooms next to the auditorium this year were part of the auditorium. So they actually turned the stage into a different angle. So instead of being, as when you used to walk in, the stage was to your right and we all sat back from mm-hmm. that. They put it right at the front and opened out all the side rooms. So the side rooms that were autograph rooms and photo rooms last year became the auditorium. It was massive. We walked in and went, holy shit. And then by the Sunday, they put in a whole lot of more rows, obviously for the people who only bought Sunday tickets. Like, it was massive. It was the biggest con I've ever seen. It was humongous, huge amounts of people.
So Thursday. We start on the Thursday. We have what happened? We have Richard hosting. Now, we know, for those of us who've been to a couple of cons, Richard has a big thing about the Friday people because not so much now. I think it's a little less. But there was a few years there it was quite noticeable that the convention would be packed on Sunday when J2 were there. But often Friday could be, I remember the first time I went in Vancouver, was quite sparsely attended, and Richard started this whole thing about Friday people are the best people. But this started on a Thursday, so what does he think about Thursday people?
He thinks Thursday people are amazing. But I have to say, it was really full. Yeah. Like, I was massively impressed, and so was he, and so was Rob, you know, because, like, the band started, and then Richard comes. Actually, Rob and the band started and then introduced Richard, and Richard came on and opened it. And, oh, my God, their riffs, I tell you what, they could take that act on the road. Wait, they do.
yeah, like 17 times or something this year.
I know, because they come up with the he did this Thursday People song, and, like, I don't know how much of this stuff's off the cuff. I mean, I know they rehearse quite a lot, but, geez, they're funny, the pair of them. And they do a lot of very ad-lib stuff, and they crack each other up. But, yeah, Thursday People, we're pretty special. He likes the Thursday People. And he was very upset that because there is a Friday People T-shirt that you can buy in the vendor's room on Fridays to say that you're a Friday People. And he said if you bought the Friday People T-shirt to him with a pen, he would cross it out and mark it Thursday People for you. But, yeah, he opened and then, which was great.
And he did his Rules and Regulations song.
Yep, talking Rules and Rules and Regulations. Well, there's rules and regulations that, you know, they're on the creation side. And I went to the first Vegas Con, which was the first time Richard did the big host thing, right? So I remember that because he had it written on an envelope and they actually had a different tune. Now it's like Talking Rules and Regulations, very rock and roll. The other one was a bit more Beatles. But he had it on an envelope. Funnily enough, he had that same envelope for the following year. He managed to find it in a jacket pocket and it was all written on the back. So it started off like that and he'd just go through what the rules are, you know, that you've got to sit in your own seat and it doesn't matter that, you know, that there's 1,000 seats in front of you that are all going to be empty today. You have to sit in your own seat right at the back. And just he goes through everything that, you know, is part of creation's rules and regulations. But because he's been doing it for so long now, I reckon he does like three. Whereas before it was like about, you know, 15 rules that he'd rattle off.
And he totally takes the piss.
He totally changes them. So, like, he does go up to the people at the back and goes, it doesn't matter that you're sitting up the back. It doesn't matter that there's 15 rows in front of you. No one's going to sit there today. You have to sit in your seat. And don't you move. It doesn't matter that you can sit right down the front there because that person, they're not coming till Saturday. You cannot move. And, He's really funny. But one of the big things he did, because it's part of creation's rules that there's no video or audio recording of the panels. It's on their website. They have a sign outside the auditorium. And it's always been...
The volunteers have been known to stop
They come around and, yep, stop your recording. And Richard has always said it with a guffaw in his voice, you know, kind of going, like, because you're not going to do it. This year he was like, screw that. Everybody record everything. Record it. If you want to record it, record it. You guys are the best promotion this convention circuit has ever had. Hey. He said, I want you to record everything. Record this. Record every panel. Put it up online. Get people to see it. That's the reason people are coming to these conventions, because everybody watches the videos on YouTube. So people were videoing. Like, and I didn't see anybody getting stopped. And in actual fact, Creation now have this thing where they have, they've really pulled, you know, picked up their whole presentation game. And this is a lot of the reason why I think they're going into convention centres a lot now. Mm-hmm. They have a brand new audio system. They have a big lighting rig now. So the little, when they have it working properly, a couple of times I tweeted them, can you please turn up the stage lights? And then the lights would come up. I'd go, woo, magic, tweet them. But they have like a really great lighting rig. So the lighting on the stage is amazing because like I as probably most people know, I take a lot of photos and, I've struggled and struggled over the years to try and get decent lighting because they're lit by this crappy auditorium light. Yes. Well, they've got a great big beautiful lighting rig now, so the lighting's amazeballs, and the sound system's amazing. They all the guys have little earphone thingies, so that earpluggy thingy things, so that they can they get directions of when the guests are ready and stuff. So and they've got these great big screens which they've always had on either side, but now they play through all the time, all photos. So if you're tweeting photos with the hashtag, they'll put them up there. So there's photos of fans and photos that people are taking of the talent and all that kind of stuff, all rotating on the screens when there's no one on stage. And they were actually playing video up there that people had taken and posted.
That's hilarious.
So I was like, oh my God. So I don't know.
That's a big shift.
I don't know if it's a shift or if it was just Richard being naughty, but he said it every single day. He said, take as much video as you want. You're the best promotion this Cohen Circuit's ever had. And people did. And there's some really great video online of the
there
panels.
There is. There's some really, and whole panels.
Whole panels.
In one video, which yep. is, which is.
JDM's is a whole panel. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fantastic, and I know when you're not at a con, we're so appreciative of, and for many people who'll never get to a con, it's the next best thing to being there, and particularly when you can, you followed everything live on Twitter, and then in a few hours or the next day you'll be able to watch
those panels up, get them up.
I know, and I know we really notice a difference in Australia because there's a slightly different attitude here, and you can't even take photos during the panel.
No, first five minutes.
Five minutes of photos. So good on Richard. I'm sure he's been part of pushing that.
And he's absolutely right. It is the best promotion
of course
that
it
the
is.
Concert.
I mean, if you
Kathy, who we sit next to every year at VegasCon, she's our neighbour. She's his sister Hazel. And she actually said to me when we were laughing about it, she said to me, this is why I came. I big fan, and I saw the videos online, and I thought, I have to go. And now she does loads of conventions, and she does Vegas every year, but she does quite a few others.
Particularly for people who, and remembering that there's a huge number, if not the majority of people, for whom Supernatural Convention will be their first convention of any sort.
And maybe their only ever convention.
Yes. And, I mean, I know that, there are a lot, all the regional sort of Comic-Con type conventions, both in the States and things like Supernova and that here. But there'll be a lot of people who've never been to that, let alone, one show convention for 3 or 4 days, and I think having an idea of what goes on would be the sort of thing that would encourage you to really want to go if you had no idea of what happens there. And you can have people explain it to you, but I think getting a sense of the atmosphere and getting a sense of what all the guests are like on stage, because, you might really want to see a certain actor or something, but I think you get so much more of a sense when you get to see the video of what that atmosphere is like.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, it makes you, I think, less, I don't know, you're a bit more prepared, I think, when you have a chance to watch those things. So anyway, that was probably the biggest thing in Richard's intro. We were pissing ourselves laughing. He's such a naughty boy. He's so awesome. He's just, honestly, since they got him to start hosting and got Loudon Swain on the stage, they've really turned the conventions into a complete show. They're amazing. And Loudon Swain are on the stage all the time. They play songs, you know, not just to bring the guests on, but while we're waiting for the guests, you know, often they're a little late or whatever, get a couple of Loudon Swain songs, you know, in every break. They're amazing. Did such an amazing job. I don't know how they do it for 4 days. And they're
no.
and the band is on pretty much all the time, and Rob is on a lot of the time. There were a couple of panels where Rich and Rob stayed on stage for with the guest. I don't know why. Maybe they requested it, you know, just a bit of help. I can't remember who the second one was, but Sam Smith had yep. both the boys on stage with her, which I think she doesn't do a lot of them, so
yeah.
I think it probably helps her to have someone else on stage just to help with the banter back and forth. But yeah, they do an amazing job, and it totally has changed the conventions having them there, and it's made them. It's like going to a show every day. It's amazing.
It is. It really, and it keeps the energy up too. Yeah. I think because as you can attest, you know, the energy can drop because you are getting tired as time goes on.
In the yes and no competition, in the stump the experts, which I mean, they still do all that sort of stuff, which I think is still great. But.
Yes,
I'm usually out of the room though when that's happening.
Look, we're moving on. You don't have to. I won't take you through every panel. I'll say some names from Thursday, and you can jump in. So I'll read through the schedule. You just jump in when you want to say something. So we had Tyler Johnson, who played Samandriel first.
He was great, actually, because I've never seen him before, and I was like, oh, come on, it's like Samandriel and, you know, the boy from Bugs. But he was really good. He was very funny. He brought the guy with him. His name was, I can't believe I can't remember, Giacomo. I had to remember. He said it like about 54 times in the panel. Who actually played the angel Daniel, I think, who got killed by Misha, who got killed by Castiel.
Mm-hmm.
And was it Daniel who got killed by Castiel? With when he was with by the lake, the fishing angel.
I think it's that guy.
He's a friend of Tyler's, and so he was actually there as a buddy because I think sometimes they're allowed to bring friends and stuff. So, but he actually did a really good panel. He was really entertaining, very funny guy. Obviously, didn't have a lot of supernatural stuff, but people knew him from other stuff, and he told some really funny stories about being naked on set and cock socks and things. I don't know. The whole weekend was sort of like that. But yeah, he was great, actually. I was really impressed with him. I was like, wow, that guy's really funny. And super dry sense of humor, very charming. He did a great job. Really, really good. So if you see him on a con,
go and see him. He's up for Vancouver. So
I thought he was really entertaining, super, super good talker. You know, like one of those people who can really tell a story and had a very dry sense of humour. It's cool.
Travis Aaron Wade, who I think it was only his second.
It was his
con.
First.
Con. Oh my God.
Convergent.
He must have felt like he was Alice down the rabbit hole.
He was so little. That was the other thing about Tyler, too. We're like, these people are so little. Everybody's so little. They were like Rob Rich, little. Sorry, Rob and Rich. But those guys are little. And, you know, the other guys are enormous. I was surprised because he doesn't look that little on the show.
No.
But he doesn't, right? He is. But he's chunky dude. But he was great. I was like, oh my God, first time. And he did a great job. And he was having such a good time. And he answered the questions really well. He's obviously just loves being on the show and loves the boys like to pieces. Everybody does. Like every single person who comes on stage is like, everybody, we know that, don't we, Jules?
Yeah,
everybody's in love with them. And they all have, I pretty much, they all fanboy over them. Like when they come on stage, like the Saturday concert, everybody's like, wow, Jensen's here. And it's seriously fanboying going on there. But he was good. He did a really good job, I thought. He seemed like a very nice guy as well. So I think everybody was really impressed with him when they got to meet him. And he was sort of, was around a little bit so people could talk to him and I know one of my friends saw him, you know, and had a drink with him and said he was a lovely guy. So he, which is kind of happens a little bit in Vegas, by the way, that some, you might meet one of them in a bar somewhere. But yeah, he was, he did a great job. I can't even think of any stories. I did actually write down. I actually did a report on day one, believe it or not.
I know, it is linked on the wiki, so people can look up
there you go.
Sweet on Dean's day one report.
I thought that was going to be a daily thing. That was my ninth con. I should know better.
That, then there was also Lauren Tom and Osric.
No, I did. I actually took a moment during their panel.
You took a knee, as they say.
I did. I had to. So there was like I said, there was times where I was like, I really need to go and just take some drugs or something. And that was one of them. So, but I was really sad because I missed, Osric came on as Amy from, Futurama.
I know.
Cosplayed as amazing. Amy. So I saw the photos and everything, but I didn't get to see Osric dressed as Amy from, you know, bon bon. So that was a bit sad.
I know, but it is important for those out there who have yet to go to a con, pacing yourself. Well, even if you're well, you know, more important if you're sick, but even if you're well, you do need to pace yourself because you may not last all weekend. You may have a big night or three, and you need to pick your moments because otherwise you're not going to last the weekend. I've known people who've gone too hard too early and, you know, ended up missing a whole day or something. Yeah. So whatever you're doing when you're partying and even just for sleep and food, sometimes you need to miss something. Sit down, have a meal, go and have a nana nap. you will appreciate it in the end because you don't want to be, you know, getting to Sunday morning and
just being cactus
and be out of it or not get through the whole day. So yeah. Our advice.
It is. And I mean, you tend to do, I know with my first convention, which was LACon in 2011, I pretty much went hard the whole time, and I realized that when I got to like Sunday night at like 10 o'clock or 9:30 or so, after we got all our photos from Chris, and that was the year that I had Jensen and Jason's jam session, so I had that additional thing in the evening. I think I hadn't eaten since Friday at 8 o'clock, where we had a pizza up in my room before we went down for the concert, and we watched the show, and that was the last time I ate. And then I was like, oh my God, I haven't eaten. I don't do that anymore because like you really need to kind of go, okay, I'm just going to skip out of this panel like 15 minutes early so I can just go and grab something to eat and then be back or whatever. So you just need to be able to.
And you don't enjoy yourself as much if you're hungry or tired and cranky and all that. So I think in terms of maximising enjoyment, sometimes missing a part of a panel or a panel, and sometimes you'll do that just because you've gotten into a conversation with someone and it's like you've decided to do that. But
it's the only chance you've got to catch up with someone. It can
cause you stress because you're like, oh, I should be over there. I should be doing this. I don't want to miss this panel, but I'm really hungry. So go with it, people. Listen to your body. And better to be, getting through. You'll be exhausted Sunday night anyway, but better to be still enjoying things. Yeah. Otherwise you get grizzly like I do. Anyway.
Who else was on?
Thursday night. Now, there had been a bit of to-ing and fro-ing about the gold cocktail party.
I didn't go, but hilarious because it was on the
it had been listed for months
listed.
On the website.
It was
everyone,
listed.
So just a bit of history. This initial, previously, or for years, the gold cocktail party was the night event, which Amy and I have talked about at length on our other con podcast, which was had turned into this absolute joke where you sat at tables and there was a DJ and various numbers of the guests would come in and literally got 90 seconds at each table, which was just ridiculous because, you can't even say hello to 10
terrible.
People in 90
and
seconds.
And they hated them.
And the guests hated it. When they
first started, like my first one, it was called a dessert party and you actually got like a dessert. You got like mousse or ice cream. There was a big like dessert tray outside. And then that disappeared, and then the guests were, and that one, that was my first one, they weren't timed like that, either. They were kind of, but still, I remember going to that one.
Literally 90 seconds.
No, but I went to that one and I finished at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, because they didn't start till after all the.
It was horrible.
That had finished. Anyway.
I was like, God damn you, Mark Shepherd, get to my table.
Vegas last year was the year they'd come up with this idea for doing some sort of show, and they didn't quite, it had obviously been really poorly thought through. And no one was clear whether it was a talent contest for the fans or for the guests, or and it hadn't, like, Misha had come up with the idea, and
Misha and Matt were on stage.
I
didn't know what they were doing.
No one had a clue, and then it's evolved into this wonderful concert.
Oh, the concert's amazeballs.
Which they certainly, Vegas Con last year, they certainly, you know, they were just getting into their stride with it then, I think, about what, and it's evolved even since then. Oh. But they then said for VegasCon this year they were going to bring back for the Thursday night the gold cocktail party. But then when everyone got there, it wasn't printed on the program.
It wasn't printed on the program. Everybody's like, where's the cocktail party? And that was like, this was like, had I not been sick, I was going to go. This was like the only, I was like, oh man, I might go to this cocktail party. It's on the Thursday night. Friday's not going to start till late. It's not, you know, I don't have to get up and be beautiful for the prettiest boy in the world. I think I'm going to go. And I didn't end up going because I was sick. But yeah, it wasn't on the brochure. And a lot of people went up to Gary, was around that night from Creation, is like, where's the cocktail party? He says, no cocktail party. We don't do the cocktail party anymore. And they're like, no. It was on the thing. No. Anyway, everybody was like, no, it really was. And I'm like, oh my God, can somebody show him? Because it's still on the web. It was still on the website.
Was it?
If you went to the gold ticket page, it was what you get. It had Thursday night. And, you know, centerpiece competition, and we're like, oh my God, people will have bought their centerpieces from God knows where, and they've got centerpieces and there's no cocktail party. And it was quite a kerfuffle. It was humorous for me. I thought it was hilarious, but a lot of people were a bit pissy about it. But as it turned out, during Thursday, big sign came up on the big Creation screen. New event for gold, cocktail party tonight, 10 o'clock. And we're like, new event? What the hell? It was the event we're supposed to be having all the time. So I didn't end up going. I went and had dinner on, Hazel was sick, so she went to bed, but I went and had dinner with Lynn from Fangasm, because we always threaten to have dinner and we never get around to it. So we went and had a lovely dinner, but she went off to the cocktail party because she was like, I feel like I have to go. It's like the last one, and it was like old school. It was all the Friday guests were going to be, Thursday guests were going to be there.
Right.
And they were doing the come around the table, old school cocktail party. And she goes, I feel like just for nostalgia's sake, I should go. And I'm like, I'm going to bed now. So I had dinner with Lynn, which was lovely. So we finally, you know, like we always catch up at the conventions, but we never actually catch up.
Yeah.
And so we had a very nice dinner and talked, you know, about our favorite subject and a lot. And then she went off to the cocktail party. But I hear that it was actually a lot of fun. And I think that'll be the last one ever, though.
They will put a block on their website from anyone typing in the words cocktail party.
Which is a bit sad because, I mean, we actually thought all they were going to do was, like, do a room, you know? Like, they kind of did that at Van, right? They sort of did that room with a DJ and stuff and which I think's kind of
good. And I actually went.
You went to that
one. Having vowed I wouldn't go again, but I had enjoyed the previous year. The dancing was fun, and I love a dance. And as much as I love all the live music at the cons, it's not right in my wheelhouse as far as preferences go, because I'm a bit of a hands in the air girl. I liked that, even though the DJ wasn't fantastic. And then after the concert this year, I thought, oh, I'll wander up and see how it's going. And it was totally, there was no organisation. It was just a party, and they had a really good, proper DJ, and everyone was just dancing all the time. And the guests who came up just had to, they either chatted to someone at a table who happened to be sitting there, or they just were on the dance floor.
Yeah.
It was. I quite liked that because you'd sort of be dancing and you'd go, "Oh, that's Osri. Oh, there's so and so." But it was fun. I can see in terms of whether they, you know, not bothering to put them on. I can see why they would do it. Yes, particularly now the Saturday night special is taken. But I think with a 3-day con, that's all you need. You do not need after the Saturday night special to have something else.
Because exactly.
Sunday's a big
day. Oh, no. See, I think with the Vegas con, having it on the Thursday, that was great because that was a day with nothing on.
A nice time to meet and talk. Yeah. And
but that was, you know, you've got to, as you say, you've got to pick and choose your times. I certainly wouldn't be going to something late on a Saturday night when Sunday's the boys' day.
Yes.
But anyway, I didn't go to the cocktail party.
Okay. So moving on though.
Moving on. Friday hey, Nikki didn't people. Go to anything. So that was suddenly Friday with the Friday people. And
Curtis?
Curtis was amazing. Oh, my God. And everyone was so excited that he was there, like Richard and Rob. Yeah. They were like, oh, my God, it's Curtis Armstrong. This guy is like, do you know who this guy is? It's like Curtis Armstrong.
Yeah, they were so, telling us.
They were so excited. They're like, you know, we grew up with this guy on our TV and he was in, you know, and Curtis was great. He told some great, so amazing energy. He came out dancing and jumping around. Another tiny little person. And he was, he told, because he's been in everything, you know. And so people were talking to him about everything from the Revenge of the Nerd movies to Risky Business to Moonlighting to, you know, he's just been in so much stuff. He's had a career of many, many. I think Risky Business was actually his first movie, so that was like 1980 tickety boo. And so he's been like, you know, in this business for a very long time. And he had great stories. He told a great story about Mark Shepherd.
Oh, do tell.
Well, he told us how Mark Shepherd hates the Beatles.
Oh.
Mark Shepherd. Which Mark Shepherd did actually verify, much to his, like, fucking Curtis Armstrong. He was like, but he said that if you get, I think Curtis quite likes the Beatles, and he's a big music fan, and he says, but if you get Mark talking about the Beatles, he said you can literally sit down and you can probably get up, go away, have a meal, come back, and he'll still be going. And you don't actually have any chance to say anything. And he'll be going, he hates Paul McCartney. Lennon's okay. Ringo, what's Ringo? Hates Ringo. And so he just, and he did this amazing impersonation of Mark Shepherd ranting about how much he hates the Beatles, which was really fantastic. And he was great. He was massive amounts of energy, really, really entertaining. And when I got my autograph with him, actually, I got him to sign my Risky Business DVD because I said to him, hey, you know, I live my life by Miles's advice to Joel. He goes, sometimes you just got to say, what the fuck? And I'm like, exactly, man. And so he signed my DVD for me. But I actually heard him say to the girl in front, she said, oh, are you coming to any more cons? And he actually said he hadn't been signed for any more. So I don't know.
Get onto that creation.
But he was really hugely entertaining. And I think it's great to have, you know, an actor like that at these shows because they do. It's like when you have Tamo there. I mean, he's done so many different sci-fi shows that people connect with him through. Yeah. And I think, you know, with Curtis, it was the same thing. People had memories of him from all different kinds of shows and he had a story for every single one.
Oh, yeah, an amazing career. And actually, I remember being do you remember it was at the Armageddon dinner a couple of years ago and I ended up sitting next to Mark Rolston who played Alistair and I was thinking, oh, you know, he's been in one episode of Supernatural, what am I going to have to talk to him about? And oh my God!
Yeah, he's been in everything, man. Aliens! Shawshank Redemption.
Sure, I know. And it's like, and he was a lovely man and, you know.
He was a lovely
great storyteller.
Man.
And
what a charming
about
man.
He's from Baltimore and we talked that's about right. The Wire. So it's, you know, how can you not have Curtis Armstrong?
He was great. I mean,
so Creation, I'm tweeting you right now.
Yeah,
actually, we're podcasting,
I'm not actually. I don't even know that, but I was like, oh, that's really weird. So I was really surprised. I thought he'd be down for a whole bunch of cons, but apparently, it's not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose he's also got Revenge of the Nerds on. And
yeah, his King of the Nerds show.
King of the Nerds, Revenge yeah, of the Nerds.
Which I actually tweeted out a photo of him doing his amazing dancing entrance, and it got like hoiked by some nerds, King of the Nerds fan site or something. Craption our king, you know, and so I was like, oh, I had like, which is awesome, but I had like a bazillion random tweets in my timeline from random people. I don't know who the hell they were, but oh, anyway, retweeting it with these captions. I was like, oh my god.
And too funny. So on to the next was Gil and Osric.
They're so cute together. They're just adorbs.
Now, of course, Osric's cosplay was pretty.
I nearly wet myself because I love Loki.
So he was dressed as Tom Hiddleston-esque Loki.
Yeah, he was Tom. He was Avengers or Thor Loki. He was Hiddleston Loki. In there, he was actually, I'd have to say, Avengers Loki with the green and the hat. And the big gold thing, which was so big, he could not keep it on his head. And he took it off nearly instantly, much to our disgust, and had to put it back on for us. But, like, Gil had to kind of hold it in place for him, because if he let it go, it, like, pressed into his head like it was going to, like, go through into his brain. So Gil's, like, holding, like, a little...
Oh, dear.
They're so cute together, and they're, like, they laugh because they think it's really random that they're two battles together.
I know, and last time, of course, I'd seen them together was San Francisco, where Osric was Ariel, the mermaid.
Which he never told Gil he was going to do. So that was a surprise.
So, again, I think Gil, who's relatively new to this whole thing, must be like, what even is my life?
I know, but Gil's amazing. And
the fact that, you know, he's become gorgeous. One of the centrepieces of the concert now.
He's the centrepiece of the con, to be honest. He does a panel with Osric, and he did a panel on his own. And of course, he's in the concert. He does the karaoke usually. And he's amazing. He's lovely and incredibly beautiful to look at. He's so pretty, it's stupid. And he's really funny, really good storyteller. And him and Osric get on so, just seem to get on really well. They're super cute together. They really bounce off each other. I actually think Osric's got a little bit of a crush on him, because I've got some photos of him looking at Gil, and he's got that face on him. How can you? No, you look at Gil and you can't help but go, oh, he's adorable. It's a really good panel, their panel, because it is kind of really random why they're together, but they really work really well together and bounce off each other really well and obviously have a good time together and obviously enjoy working together and have become friends because of it, which, you know, we love those stories these guys
become
friends.
Now, I'm rushing through this a bit because I want to
get to J2
before your voice gives out.
I know, it's getting a bit funky.
So I'm going to cut... So we
cutting
need
me short.
Straight... Well, no, we just need straight to the point. Samantha Smith?
Yes, Samantha Smith is... yep, she had Robin Rich on stage. I think she needs a little bit of backup, I think. So
Onmudson and the beard.
Oh my god, the guy is amazeballs and needs to be at every single convention. His beard is even more amazeballs than him. And he's everything you think he's gonna be and more. He was amazing. I love him. I love him. He's just fabulous. Fabulous. Fabulous is the word for him. I love him, and I loved having a photo with him. He's just awesome. I loved him.
Now, skipping ahead to Saturday, we've got some more outrageous personalities because there was Sebastian.
Oh, I hadn't seen Sebastian do a panel for a while. He hadn't been at any cons that I'd done for a while, and I'd forgotten. He's just ridiculous. I don't even know. I don't think he answered any questions. I don't even know why
people... He really does.
I know, but I don't even know why people queue. But he sang and he danced and he sang more. He was running around. He stood on a chair next to me, which, because the lady next to me wasn't there for that panel, Michelle, is her name? And Lynn, actually, who's sitting across the aisle from me, got a photo of him on the chair with me going, ah! And, yeah, he was all over the place. But he was Sebastian's, doing Sebastian's thing. He was, I will say this, if you're at the con, if you can find a video of it, you'll understand. I will never look at Vin Diesel the same again. Find the video.
Okay. I'll be looking that up.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Pellegrino.
Awesome. Love Mark Pellegrino. He got everybody who asked a question, he got them to come up on stage to ask the question. And oh, he just kind of wraps himself around them. He's a very smooth dude.
Of course, Mark Shepherd.
Mark Shepherd did Mark Shepherd's thing, wandered around and gave a lot of snark.
Misha.
Misha's panel was great. That was one of the best Misha panels that I've seen for a while, actually. He answered lots of questions. He was super charming. And Misha, I adore Misha. You know, I love Misha. But, you know, the questions were really good. Sometimes the questions can be a bit odd. But the questions were like the one time where a fan got up. Literally, I swear to God, this happened. A fan got up and said to Misha, "Is your fridge running?"
Oh,
and
no.
He just was like, "Why are you even fucking wasting my time?" Oh. Like, he was so pissed, and he got really, that was in Chicago, and he got really pissed off after that. I was like, "Why would you waste your time and stand in the queue and waste everybody's time?" Everybody went, "What?" And he was like, "What?" Anyway, but everybody did really good questions, and Misha's panel was lovely. It was a lovely panel. I love Misha.
Now, the concert.
Oh,
with
my
special
God.
Guest appearance by
I am never
going
to recover.
I was worried that you may not be recovered in time for Sunday.
I will never recover.
So tell
from
us. So we know everyone's wonderful and gorgeous and they're all fantastic, but let's cut to the chase.
It was actually, the concert is amazing, like you said, and like, I'd only seen one. I did the Vancouver one because the first year that I did the Vegas one, it was random. So I did Vancouver with you and that it was really good, but this was amazing. Like, before Jensen came on, the Gil is amazing. Like, he did two songs and it was like, dude, this dude's amazing. And I love the fact that Gil is, you know, he's saying he's going to move to New York and try out for Broadway, because we've given him the courage to do that and reignited his love of singing. Which is just amazing, right? And so he did a couple of songs. Sebastian did Need You Tonight. I was like, if anybody can out-skank Michael Hutchins, it's Sebastian Roche, right?
I would have loved to have seen that. My favourite song of mine.
It was really good. He really did it. I was like, this is so perfect for him. I can't even. Osric came on and did a song. It was wonderful. And, of course, Loudon Swain did a couple of songs. Yeah. And Rich did a song, and it's just, you know, the guys are so talented, it's like freaks me the hell out. And then of course they get ready to do Seven Bridges Road, and then, so we know that Jensen's going to be there because he's tweeted, you know, you're all ready for a concert, yeah, y'all, you know. And so we're like, Jensen's coming. And so we all just assumed, as per Phoenix, that he was going to come out. We thought Jared probably be there. Jared wasn't there because he was sick, and he actually said he had woken up the night before. They came in on Friday night because someone saw them in the casino at Bellagio in the Friday night, had photos with them, or with Jared anyway. He said he woke up on Friday, you know, like in the middle of the night, and went, oh no, he was really sick. So he decided not to come on Saturday night. He did come for a little while into the vendor's room because his sister Megan was signing her Big Mo books.
Yep.
And Mr. and Mrs. Padalecki were there with her, and also Megan's partner was there. And Jared came in and sat with her for about an hour, and so fans could come and say, I didn't see him. I went and met Megan earlier during the day and bought her book, but I didn't go there when Jared was there. So he came then, but then he decided he was just, he's big day Sunday, so he's not going to come to the concert on Saturday night, which was a shame, as it turned out. So anyway, yeah, so we're all expecting, you know, and Rob does, I'm sure you've all seen the video by now, Rob does the whole, you know, oh, we need an extra set of, extra harmony. Is Mr. Ackles in the house? And out comes Jensen. And then they do Seven Bridges Road, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
They do such a great rendition of it. And then, I just assumed that was going to be it. And then Jensen's like at the microphone, hey, you know, and he was in such high spirits, obviously, and had a few sherbets, I would say. He brought one on stage later, so yeah. and then he's like, oh, I want to introduce you to someone. And we're like, no fucking
oh my
way.
God.
He's going to have to, I'm sorry, I'm swearing a lot on this podcast. Why am I apologizing? What the hell?
What are you doing?
What the hell? And then we're like, oh my God, he's going to bring out Jeffrey. And someone's yelling out, Jeff. And he's like, I don't know who that is. And then, of course, out comes Jeff. And I was amazing. Like, just I still couldn't even believe that Jeffrey Dean Morgan was going to be at this damn convention, let alone to have him come out on the Saturday night. And he just came out, and I swear to God, Jensen's face. Jensen was in the best mood all weekend. He was beside himself happy. And I swear he was looking like, it was almost like he was looking, look what I've, in the last 10 years,
look what I've made.
Look what I've made. This is, seriously, he was proud. Yeah. It was like he was introducing his people to his dad or something, you know. It was like Jeff is obviously a very good friend of his, and it was almost like he was introducing us to them. These are my people. Look, come and meet them all. And he's beaming. He was beaming. Like, I can't even. I have these photos of him just grinning like a five-year-old. And, you know, Jeff came out and sort of did his little thing. And I have to say, he looked a bit like, whoa, holy crap, because it was pretty full house. And then he said, you know, it's really funny too, because if you watch one of the videos, you can see him kind of going, oh, you know, I've decided, oh, have you heard of the band Night Ranger and all this kind of stuff? And you can see Jensen off the side doing this big fakey Von Fakes a lot, like he doesn't know what Jeff's going to say.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and I'm like, oh, my God, he's so faker. And then, of course, he says he wants to hear Sister Christian. Now, story about this, Sister Christian, is I looked at Hazel and went, are you shitting me? Because that's like one of our favourite songs. And we watch Friday the 13th, Padlock is Friday the 13th,
yes,
quite a bit. And that's a music cue in that. When all everybody's getting killed at the beginning, the lad who goes off to and finds the weed is listening to Sister Christian. It's one of the great music cues. And I just love it in that movie. And I absolutely have always loved that song. And we just looked at each other like, is this like for real? Is this fucking real? Sister Christian, which is a song that we're always like, how great is Sister Christian? And then, of course, Jensen puts the little green things back in his ears. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to sing it. And then he sung it.
And
like
he was in rock god mode, wasn't he? He was rocking out with his cock out, metaphorically and almost literally, I think.
I took like a whole ream of photos right up top, and I got some pearlers, I have to say. One of which I managed to get the Conquest people who sell the convention journals owed me a bit of a favour, and they said they'd print 5 photos for me. They were doing printing in the vendor's room. So if you wanted to get just little prints of fan photos or whatever, you could just email them to them and they'd print them.
Great. Yeah.
They were trialing this new thing. So I emailed them a photo of Jensen peeling back his shirt and go, and it got him Jensen to sign it on Sunday night. So, which was awesome. He's going, what the hell am I doing? I said, being a rock star. And he goes, but I'm singing and I don't have a microphone in my hand. I was like, you're actually stripping at the time. But he was amazing. I can't – we all know the dude can sing, but, man, he can sing. And he – do you remember back in the day where he used to say, I don't do this, I'm really nervous, I don't sing, you know, please don't judge me. And he was – I mean, that point where he, like, rips off his shirt and he throws it down to the beat and he's pumping, he's doing these little moves that Hazel and I were like, fully cheerleader moves. That's a cheerleader move from his past. From when he was a cheerleader. There's a couple of them like cheerleader move, we can see it. But he was amazing. And like Rich and Rob are doing like some kind of, which I didn't notice, I've got to admit, I didn't notice until I saw the video. I was like, Jesus, I didn't even notice that they were doing that, because I was just like glued. They were like doing this dueling guitar thing. The whole thing was amazing. And then he went off.
Yes, Megan,
Melancholy
in Stardust has an
incredible photo
of that dueling guitar thing. And it is so sexual. Like I said, they look like two stags rutting. Like they're facing off with each other with their guitars. And the energy in this photo,
it's amazing photo.
And the intensity is just off the scale.
Yeah, it's great.
It's like
everybody was just like, the energy in the, I can't even describe the energy in the auditorium. I can't describe it. And it was like, I cried. I think half the people I know cried, just sheer tears of amazement. And he's amazing. The guy's amazing. You know how I feel about him, but dear God. And then off he goes. I was like, just when you think you can't get any more amazing, he does that. And then off he goes. And then, of course, they, they did a little help with my friends, which is Rob's big song, and he always makes me cry. I think every convention now, Rob makes me cry. That just seems to be the thing. And he talked about how, you know, we and these people on stage actually did save his life. And it's a very big part of who Rob is and, you know, what he does at the conventions now. And then, of course, they brought out Jeff again. Jason Manns came out. Oh, Jason Manns did Hallelujah with... who did he do that with? Was it with Gil? Or Rob? No, he did Hallelujah with Rob, which was amazing.
Oh, fantastic.
But yeah, and then they bring out Jeff, and then they bring out Sam, and they're all on stage together. I took a little video of it, and honestly, the love in the room was like dripping off the walls. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And just having like the three Winchesters on stage, and they've all got their arms around each other. And Jensen, you cannot even fathom how happy his face was. He was having the best time. Yes. And he's there with Jeff, and he's got his people in the audience going ape shit for everybody, and everybody's singing and cheering, and you know, and it was the most it was the most amazing thing. And when it finished, I remember I ran over to Lynn, because Lynn had been really heartbroken she wasn't at Phoenix Con, one con she decided not to go to when he did that singing, and like, when he sung Sister Christian, the first thing I did was look at her and go, she's going to lose it. She was like, oh my God, I nearly tweeted you, because I was like, oh my God, Amy's going to lose it. And there's, you know, a few of us took a photo together. We're all just laughing our asses off, because it was just the energy in the room. Everybody just sort of stood up when the cast left. Everybody just stood up and was like looking at each other and just hugging random people. Oh. We're just hugging. Everybody was just hugging, going, my God, that was amazing. It was like, you know, three of the Winchesters on stage. It was sad that Jared wasn't there, and Jensen rock starring it, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. It was just like unbelievable. Concert was amazing. I was so sick, and I got up to my room and I went, screw this, man, I'm getting some photos out. And I think we ended up going, we just couldn't sleep. We ended up going to sleep at about 3:30 in the morning, because we were just like,
So buzzed.
And we knew we had to get up we knew we were going to have like 4 hours sleep before J-Day. Typical. I always go, it's typical. We seem to go to sleep at like 4 o'clock in the morning. J-Day the next day. But it was amazing. The concert was amazing. So, and if you haven't seen the video, go find it. There's some amazing video of it.
I just wanted to skip ahead to the most awkward family photo. So we actually did end up with the whole Winchester family on stage. If you want to talk us through that.
That was great. That was when did that happen? That happened during Jeff's panel. Jeff did a really fabulous panel, by the way. He did autos in the morning, and I went and got my autograph with him, and I got a couple of things signed. Did I? Yeah, two things signed. And I just like stuck my hand straight out and was like, hi, I wanted to shake his hand. He was like, oh, I love your tattoos. They're really cool. Thanks. But he was so charming. Oh my God. Mm. And just having a great time. I have to say at the concert, he looked a little deer in the headlights a couple of times. Like, I can't even, I think he would just, I don't think he could have been prepared for it.
No. And that's why I talk about, you know, people like, you know, Gil or Travis being, you know, down the rabbit hole. I mean, you go from being this, you know, Jeffrey Dean obviously has a lot higher movie profile and everything, but he's still not in your celebrity sphere. He's not used to being, you know, mobbed. He doesn't go to a lot of red carpet events or anything. So you've got these jobbing actors, basically, who, as we know, you know, many of the guys from when they first started doing this is like, do get treated like rock gods for the weekend. And now you've got this concert and you've got, you know, 1,000 people screaming at you. You must be like pinching, like.
He was really looked a little like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I mean, I think he can see it. But by the time he got on stage for his panel, that was gone. And he was having the best time. He's, bit of a sexy bastard, I have to say.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, exactly. He's really, really good storyteller. Had a very cheeky, flirty on stage. He was great. Seeing him reading about erotica was just Thank you, Carla, by the way, my friend Carla, for bringing that up. Good job. That was awesome. And then, of course, yeah, the guys, they walked down the aisle. They walked right next to me. I could hear this screaming, and I turn up, and then there's Jensen standing next, like walking past me, and because I'm like right on the aisle.
Megan, who was taking photos for Creation, and she was in the aisle, and she said, I could feel their air as they walked past. I was so close, so I could feel the air move as they walked past.
Yeah, they're just like, and I was like, oh, fuck, it's like Jensen and Jared, you know, these two massive dudes with, like, so much security. You've never seen anything like it. We're like, what is with all the security, man? We're really not going to jump them. No. But yeah, so they just swinked straight down the aisle right next to me, and came up on stage, and crashed Jeff's panel, and then brought out Sam. So there we had all the Winchesters on stage, and it was great. It was like they were all hugging and all that kind of stuff, and then they're all just sort of sitting, you know, talking and talking about the show and just laughing. And. And then they did the awkward family photo, which I got a really good shot of.
You did. It's now on the front page of the wiki.
Oh, is it really? Awesome. Yes. And Robbie Thompson retweeted it.
Oh, I know. He said it was now his headcanon.
I know. I was like, oh, my God, why is my timeline going crazy? I was in Urban Outfitters. I'm like, why the hell has my Twitter gone blown up? So that was amazing just to have him on there. Just to have Jeffrey Dean Morgan there was amazing.
And it did change. Still looked so thrilled to have him there on the
Jensen
on the Sunday.
Jensen was beside himself. He was so... I know that they're pretty damn good friends, and he just looked so proud. He looked really, really, really proud of to have Jeff there. I think he was proud of us. You know, he was proud of what him and Jared have built, and to sort of show Jeffrey, this is what I've been telling you about, you know. Here it is. Check them out.
You know,
they'll love us.
I keep going on about, this is it.
You
can't describe it. And particularly from their side of things, it must be incredibly difficult to try and I can't really know what it's like for them, but it must be really hard to try and explain the feeling they get to someone else.
Mm. Yeah, it was pretty great. So yeah, it was, and Sunday was just a fabulous day. And the boys, even though Jared was sick, you would never know it. And he told us in the gold panel straight up, he said, I'm really sick. Please wash your hands after you hug me. And had said that he'd been up, you know, all night, and he had a stomach flu, and he said, I don't know if it was in the gold panel or the afternoon panel, I get them confused, but he said that he got it, he thought he got it off his boys, because both the boys had had it, and Jensen was like,
his sons.
Yeah, his sons, because both his sons had been sick with it. And Jensen was like, oh, well, I actually think JJ got it from your boys as well, because he said they were hanging out last week, and he said that Danielle had rung him, I think yesterday, the day before, and said, I'm driving, I'm stuck in traffic, and JJ's just thrown up all over herself.
Oh.
And he said that Danielle said, I've just had to hand her a wet wipe and she's cleaning herself up. And Jensen's like, she's 20 months old. And he goes, I'm thinking, that's my girl.
I'm sure he'll think it's less amusing
when he has to do it.
No, when she's 20 and she's doing it.
Well, that's what he said. He said it's usually Daddy who's doing that. So Jared, but you'd never know he was sick. You could tell in the autographs, I have to say. But even in the photo ops, you couldn't have told he was sick. He just, it was probably quite good for him, actually, probably distracted him, because, you know, if you absolutely have to do something and it distracts you away from wanting to vomit the whole time. So, you know, they did great panels. Both their panels were great. I have to say, I think their main panel was probably the best one I've ever seen, if only for that airport hotel story, which was just golden. And if you haven't seen it, it's out there. Please watch it. It's one of the funniest stories ever. And they just keep digging a hole deeper and deeper.
I mean, we know, what's the word? We know the rhythms of their comedy and their relationship now. And it so often starts And it's actually often Jensen's fault for setting it off. But then as the story goes on and Jared says more outrageous things and then Jensen says things and he catches himself like, what did I just say?
I'm going to stop talking.
And then Jared just takes it somewhere and Jensen ends up face palming.
And then they're like, we need Jeffrey Dean Morgan to come out, and Jeff just sort of appears on stage. Jared's like, were you hanging from the rafters? And he goes, I forgot my coffee. It's just like, it was like the best punchline ever. I think I was crying, and I honestly, I took like a bunch of photos, but I didn't take anywhere near as many as I usually do. Just, I was having too much fun, and I was just laughing and laughing. I couldn't take the photos because I was laughing so hard, and they were both absolutely on fire. And Jensen, I swear to God, every photo I've got pretty much of him. Usually I get all these photos of him pensively listening to people and stuff. Every photo I've got of him, his head's thrown back and he's laughing. He was having the best day. He was having a great day. So it was a fabulous panel and a fabulous day, and had great photo ops with with them. I mean, it's very nice to walk into a photo op with Jensen and him turn around and go, hey, how you going? It's great to see you. It's like, that is probably the best thing ever. But I have to say, I have a very funny, saw Jared looked really sick by the time I got to my autos with him. He was a hoodie. His mum and dad were there with him and he was really rugged up and he looked bad. And, some of my friends who were in the queue later than me said that they came out and they sort of said to him, to everybody, he's really sick. He's going to get through all the autographs. He's going to do everybody. But if you can please keep it in mind when you come to see him that he's really sick. So, and a couple of times he had to disappear and, chuck or whatever, I guess. And they all had to wait while he sort of took a moment and then came back. But he stayed and he did every single autograph. And he was there till like probably 8 o'clock, doing every single autograph. Maybe even later. Might have been later, actually. Probably was later, because I don't think they started until... must have been about 9, I think, when he finished. So that's what a guy, so few...
Well,
I don't think
he tweeted a number of times to, like, apologize. For, and it's like... would have been tweeting out going
another con, another group of actors, another lead on another show. No freaking way. That would not happen. He stayed there. And like when I saw him, I had a quick chat to him and talked to him about coming to Sydney and stuff. And I mean, you could tell he was really sick, but he was still lovely and friendly to me and, said looking forward to seeing me in Sydney and everything. But Hazel and I had a great auto experience with Jensen. Okay, this is going to out me for being a complete nerd, which you already know. No. So at Vancouver, we got this a J3 photo, and Misha and Jared kind of just grabbed Hazel, and they were like right in the background, and me and Jensen grabbed me, and we were just sort of right in the front, and we're just like arms around each other, just like casual, really casual, kind of hanging out together. But we're right at the front of the photo, completely out from everybody else. And I said to Hazel, I reckon I could cut us out of that and, like, put us in really hilarious situations. And she was like, oh, that would be really funny. So one Saturday night, I cut us out perfectly. And I was annoying her by sending photos of me and Jensen in front of the Eiffel Tower, me and Jensen in front of a house with a sold sign, me and Jensen. It was, like, hilarious. Anyway, I was having so much fun. So for Christmas this year, I made her a Christmas card with me and Jensen. I put a little Christmas hat on him. I photoshopped the whole thing. I'm pretty good at Photoshop. And I put us in front of like a very traditional American hearth with an open fire and stockings hanging and a big Christmas tree with all presents. And anyway, I've made this Christmas. And it's so perfect. It's ridiculous. And I laughed for about 3 days after I made it because I couldn't believe it. When it arrived, I laughed for about another 3 days. And Hazel got it and she laughed for, she's like, laughed for a week. She freaking got him to sign it.
Oh, no.
So she said she was going to do it, right? And I was like, no, you're not. And she was like, oh, no, I might get something else signed. The very last minute we're in the queue and I said, what are you going to get signed? She pulls it out and said, are you serious? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, I better go after you because I want to see what the hell he says. Anyway, so she pulls it out. When we got up to, excuse me, I'm so sorry. when we got up to Jensen, the two women that were just before us, so it was like about four of us at his table, they were just saying to him, "Oh, you were fantastic last night." And he's like, "Whoa, hey, I love all these women telling me how great I was last night." And we could afford that laughter. And he turned and looked at us and he's like, "Right?" And we're like, "Yeah, right." Because he really likes ladies telling him he was awesome last night, obviously. And
because I'm sure that rarely happens in real life.
Really, I know. And we're like, it was really dirty, actually. Yeah. The whole little conversation was really dirty, and he was laughing. He was having such a good time. Anyway, the ladies went off, and Hazel puts down the card, and he like picks it up, and he looks at it. He doesn't get it quite at first, and he's like, "Oh, hey, oh," and he laughs, and he goes, "Well, this is pretty good." And he looks up at me and I look down and I go, "Oh my God." And the three of us are just cacking ourselves laughing. He's like, "No, this is really good." And we're like, I'm like, "Yeah, right." And then he just opens it. Now I've written all this stuff in it. And it's all about him and, you know, going on conventions, and I've signed it from me and him. And he just opens it, you know, like as if it's the, you know, most natural thing to do. And I just went, "Oh, no way, man." And I just like slammed it shut with my hand. He's like, "Whoa, oh." And I was like, "Okay, it's bad enough she's getting you to sign the thing. You're not reading it." And he's like, "Oh, now I really want to read it." And I'm like, "You're not reading it." And we were all laughing so much. And he goes, "No, I really want to read it. I really want to read it now. What's in it?" I'm like, "You're not reading it." And then he goes to Hazel, "You better go because I'm going to tackle you otherwise." And so it was just great. It was just hilarious. It was like the laughter. And I got him to sign the rock star photo, which he just couldn't believe. And
fantastic. I mean, it's great that he got to see it too.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, "Whoa." And then when I left, I went, "I'm really excited you're coming to Sydney." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, we're really happy to be coming." And I said, "Well, I'll see you soon." He pointed at me and goes, "2 months." And I went, "Oh, my God, is he counting down as well?" So it was really good. But that was a pretty damn funny experience. So if he didn't know I was a Jensen girl before, which he did, blatantly obvious.
Yeah, a little break, a little something to you, Amy. I might have picked that out before now.
Well, I forgot to, because I did his meet and greet as well, because I do all of his meet and greet. So that was my 8th meet and greet. And I thought for a minute he wasn't going to answer my question. But he picked me right at the end, and I was like, "Oh, thank God." And then he answers me like, I swear to God, I was so far forward on my chair. I was, how's this? Hazel and I picked seats next to each other out, right in front. I was right directly in front of Jensen. She was next to me, and then our friend Ange was next to us, and then one lady between us, and then our friends Lynn and Kathy.
Fantastic. Well,
it was ridiculous, all of us in the front row, but I was so far off forward on my seat, I was at risk of falling off. And he answered me with his like hands in his face resting on his knees. I just couldn't believe it. My friend Angela's like, "Did you see the way he answered you?" I was like, "Oh my God." It was really adorable. So it was a good meet and greet too. His meet and greets are always really nice. They're really nice. They're just a nice environment, they feel. He answers the questions really well. One of the really funny questions was actually Rita, you know, Rita, who takes all the photos, she asked if he got those.
Yes, I do. Sorry, you know, Rita? I've been blank for a moment. Sorry. I was singing Rita. Yes, I do. Yeah, know Rita. Her. Yes.
She asked if he'd got the headphones yet from Jared that Jared had promised him for his birthday present, and he hadn't. He's like, "No, I haven't. I haven't got them yet." And he told the story.
That, for people who don't know, that Jared had said that in the, I think it was an interview with Variety.
I think so. Yeah.
When he was talking about the T-shirt campaign, was it Variety? I think.
Yeah,
or People.
I think, People. No, it was
and
the People one, Laura's one.
Had mentioned that he was there on a plane and he'd lent Jensen his iPad to watch something with his earphones and. Anyway, Jensen had said that's what I want for my birthday.
I like those earphones. I'll have those for my birthday. But he said, "No, Jared's like, oh, I've got them. They're at home and I'll give them to you this weekend." So hopefully he got them this weekend. That was the plan.
I hope so. Fantastic,
and then it was over, and I didn't go to Jason Manz's concert because I was just too sick. By the time we'd done our autographs and everything, it was about 9:15, and I don't know what Jason was due to come on at 9:30, and yeah. I bet he didn't.
Nothing.
So I went to bed pretty much. So, but it was an amazing convention. It was, I think, having Vegas is always amazing because it's 4 days. There's a different energy there, I have to say. Everybody's got cocktails, and the cast seem to have a slightly different energy, I think, because it's Vegas. And
yes,
you know, I think the boys often have a very different energy, but I think having that concert and Jensen doing the rock star thing for us, and then having Jeffrey Dean Morgan there just added this whole other thing. And then having that experience of having all the Winchesters on stage together was just like ridiculous. You know, I mean, we were sitting there pinching ourselves thinking, how are we even seeing this? This is like, whoever would have thought this would have happened, that we'd be sitting there with Samantha Smith, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Joan Pedelecki, and Jensen Ackles all on stage together.
Yeah.
It was like, so
it may never happen again. So
it may never happen again.
Wonderful 10 years on from the pilot for that moment.
Yeah, it was a really special 10-year sort of anniversary thing, I think. And and that just lifted the energy. And, you know, meeting Jeffrey Dean Morgan, he was a doll, and he was having so much fun in the photo ops. He's hugging everybody, he's kissing everybody. He was just having a blast. And
I am, having been a long time fan of Sir, I recommend, if you haven't before and people have seen him on the con vids or something, go and look up the interviews he's done with Craig Ferguson. I
think there's
three or four of them, and you will, like, he is hilarious.
He is hilarious.
And he and Craig together are just brilliant, and you will laugh. And he's this big giggly thing, and it's gorgeous.
He's gorgeous. And he's a big dude, but he's pretty skinny.
Yeah. Well, he lost a lot of weight, yeah. I know, for a role he did last year.
Yeah, Texas Rising, that the miniseries for the History Channel. He got pretty thin for that, so I think he might be putting weight back on, because he's really lean and so brown. Oh my God!
Yes, so yes, brown. I noticed that in the. I was looking at some photo ops, and he was slightly orange.
He's so brown. Jensen was like, "I think I'm going to have to hit a tanning bed and lose a bit of weight," is what he said. I'm going to have to do a tanning bed to lose a bit of weight. Yeah, he's not a lot of. Oh, he's actually. We were both saying that he's beefed up, not in like fat wise, but he's bulked up, I should say. He looked bigger.
Okay.
There was a bit more of Jensen this time because he's pretty lean, diet.
And he put on a bit of a gun show during the
during
the concert. Definitely something we rarely get to see on the show because of layers.
I know.
And you know, hey, layers. Their name's Winchesters. I think they could get the guns out more often.
Oh my gosh, he had the guns out. And he's so broad. He's like, his shoulders are ridiculous. And he's like, yeah, he was doing these air pump, fist pump things and this. Oh, stop it. I'm just never going to get over that concert. Ever. I'm so pleased I was there for that.
Sounds wonderful, Amy. And I'm glad we could talk. I mean, it's always good to talk about it in the afterglow of the con, even through loosening mucus.
I'm so sorry about the coughing, everybody.
No, you did
pretty good. I had some cough mixture before I did this thing, so I could try and contain it.
You did very, very well, Amy. So, look, we'll be back with episode reviews shortly.
Shortly.
In the next week or two, and other news things.
Yes.
And, of course, we get to see the boys. They're coming down under to All Hell Breaks Loose 6 days.
Cannot believe it.
Day in Melbourne.
62 days today. I can't believe it.
I'm so thrilled for all the Australian fans who've never seen them live before, who'll get to see them. I think it's really, really wonderful. And Mark Shepherd's just been announced tonight as
Oh,
well.
Okay. I wondered when they were going to announce more. Oh, yeah, so, I just saw that on Facebook on the page. Yeah, I had a feeling that Mark would be coming. I have to say, too, I spoke to both the boys about them coming, and both of them were like, we're really excited to come to Australia. We're really happy to be coming down. I mean, they're basically going around the world. They're doing Birmingham.
Well, they've got 3 weeks in a row. They've
Birmingham, Rome,
and then UK, Italy, and Australia.
I know.
So
it's like horrific. I'm hoping that they're.
Yeah, I don't think they're sitting in row 72, seat D next to the toilets.
I don't think so.
I think their experience of flying is probably slightly different.
A little bit different, but still.
Oh. It's still a lot of travel.
It's a lot of travel, and I'm hoping that maybe they'll get a chance to, like, go up the north coast or something afterwards and have a bit of a Queensland island holiday or something.
Of course, Jared's familiar with that part of the world because that's where he filmed House of Wax.
Exactly.
So and Jensen, of course, spent time in Melbourne. So come back to Melbourne and, you know, the fold-out bed's waiting.
Yeah, exactly. That's what my mum said to me when I said they're coming. She goes, oh, you can just tell them that they can be, you can put them up at your place. Yeah. I'm like, sure. No problemo.
I think we have to take a ticket and stand in line of fangirls offering beds, I think.
I can fight them all.
Well, you better go and recover so that you can, Amy. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, Amy, for podcasting through the pain. We'll be back with more Women of Letters soon.
Thanks, guys. Bye. You've been listening to the Women of Letters podcast. If you'd like to contact us, our email is wolspn@gmail.com. You can follow Amy on Twitter @AmyInSydney and Jules @SuperWiki.